In Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 36, perhaps it would be best to start with verse 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, or one Lord." Notice it says the Lord our God is one Lord. It means that I don't want you to seek after many lords. Now, a lot of people own Jesus Christ as one God, but they have a lot of lords. I won't go into that tonight, but it's a deep truth. Verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. I was amazed to read that in the Greek, that means that God never gave you any strength for anything but to love God. And the Greek brings out in a symbolic illustration taken from the ancient Greek that when a father had a son or had children, that they instructed those children that they were to use all their strength to build up the land and to take care of the family at a very young age. They were trained to give all their strength to their father, who was the head of the house. And God borrowed that symbolic illustration, put it in the Greek here, in verse 30. And from it, it means that you're to pour out every bit of strength you've got loving God. How many understand that? It means all the energy that God produces is for one purpose, is to love Jesus and serve Him in everything we do. In verse 31, "The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there is none other commandment greater than these." These take care of the other eight, symbolically, with status symbols in their relationships. And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. There is one God, and there is none other but He." And would you read verse 33? "And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." All the times that we have read this verse, we never saw what we saw tonight, and this will not be any part of our message, but I want to give it to you as background. You know, I was thinking of the people that do not love God with all their understanding. Do you understand what that means? With everything you understand in life, you love God with it. Your education, what you learn in every subject, God says you just learn it to love me with it. If you're studying biology, if you're studying photosynthesis, if you're studying how the chlorophyll and the chemical action of the energy of the sun makes the grass green, if you study all these things, the purpose of knowing that is to love the one that made the earth. It isn't to be a school teacher. You know, a lot of Christian school teachers learn to teach school. But spirit-filled ones learn to love God with what they learn. And school teaching is just their occupation. But serving Jesus Christ is their vocation. I mean, if it's to go to a factory and work, then you see God in the thing that you're doing at the factory. And with all your strength, with the things that you're doing, you love God with what you're doing with your hands. And with what you understand about that, you love God with it. If it's at a tannery, you love God for the leather because animals were sacrificed. And that reminds you of the blood of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And you understand that that has a purpose in life. Giving people physical clothes so that they can live to accept Jesus. And so you're doing it for Jesus' sake. And with all your strength and with all your understanding, you do your occupation to serve God full time. There isn't a job in the world. If you work in a lumber mill or something to do with lumber, then you thank God that you can be a part of producing lumber that can give men and women and young people shelter so they can live long enough to get saved. Whatever you're doing with all your understanding, it goes right back to God. And everything you do, and if you're a lobsterman, you just catch lobsters so people can eat and live long enough to get saved. And hope that they don't get polluted in the process. Pray at that. Well, anyway, whatever you are, if you're a fisherman, he isn't here tonight, but if he was, I would say if you're a fisherman, you're quitting, call it a bad job. Go to better waters. I'm only saying that because of that article in the paper about fish this week, how that they think in 2 years they're going to buy more and more fish, and perhaps some of you read that article. It's the only reason I'm saying that. But listen, he says, to love Him with all your heart, that's the center of your existence. With all your understanding, that's everything you know about life, you use it to love God. In every subject. And no subject is detached from loving God. And there's no subject that has anything to do with knowledge unless it's motivated by the quality of life, which is the Lord Jesus, which fulfills all knowledge with His presence and wisdom and science of learning. And then you love God with all your soul. All your self-conscious life loves God. So you're so filled with God's love, you have no place for self-pity. When you love yourself and things don't go well, life is wretched. But if you love God and things do not go well, everything is beautiful. And then, through God's love, you love yourself, and then we'll love the neighbors as ourselves. And to love his neighbor as himself, the love of God filling the heart so that we have self-respect and self-evaluation, and in turn we have a reflection of the love we have through God for ourselves, for others, because of what God has done for us in his love. How many understand it? These things are more than any offerings or sacrifices, and when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly, and I like that word, discreetly, with discernment. And he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom. No man after that does ask him any questions. By the way, the Sadducees were trying to trap him. Some of them were getting close with a letter. And then, in verse 35, Jesus answered and said, then the scribes after the Sadducees, and Jesus answered in verse 35 and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he from then his son? And then you read with me the next few words. Go ahead. And the common people what? And read it again. And once more. And still again. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Turn in Leviticus chapter 4. I want you to see something in Leviticus 4 that's precious. Verse 3. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for the sin offering. Verse 13. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they which have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning these things which should not be done and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then let the congregation offer a young bullock. Then in verse 22, when a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, his God, concerning things which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin, wherein he has sinned, come to his knowledge, he shall bring an offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. Verse 27, and if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and he be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats or a female without blemish for his sin which he has sinned. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. I was moved by this tonight for this reason. If the priests sinned, they had to bring a bullock, and a bullock was the most precious animal, worth more than any other animal that they had in all the camp. And if they sinned, they must bring a bullock. If the whole congregation sins, they've got to bring a young bullock, which was the most expensive offering that you could offer God. If a ruler sinned against God, he was to bring a goat, which was the next most expensive animal. He was to bring a goat. But if a common person sinned against God, he had a choice. He could bring a lamb or what else? Verse 28. He shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish. And he could bring something that everyone had to have, and it was inexpensive. A female that gave milk that everyone owned. And if he couldn't afford that, he could bring something else. The reason being that God made special provisions for the common people. I want you to see tonight that in this particular portion, we have the beautiful setting of God's provisions for common people. Then I was thinking of Jesus Christ in Luke 2 and 24. Of all the people that he could have been reared up in as God Almighty in a little human body, he was born unto Mary and unto Joseph. And in Luke 2 and 24, all Mary could offer was what? Pigeons and turtle doves. And Jesus Christ identified himself with the poor. And it was someone that couldn't offer a bullock. Someone that could not afford a goat. And someone that couldn't even afford a lamb. Jesus Christ identified himself with the poorest type of family in the entire world. Someone that only had a turtle dove. And he said, I'm going to be born into a family that can't even afford anything but has to go out and get the least. And I'm going to be identified with that family. Is it any wonder it was said in John 1 and 47, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is it any wonder that the Word of God makes it very clear in Matthew 13, 55 that his own loved ones rejected him? And Jesus Christ, who identified himself with poverty, with ignorance in the slum area, Jesus Christ, who identified himself with the common people. Therefore, they heard him gladly. He didn't go around correcting anybody on anything. He identified himself with the common folks. I like that. That really, listen. What a beautiful thing it is. That though he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9. That the Lord Jesus Christ was born in a crib and lived in a slum area, and his family could not afford a lamb. They could only go out and get a turtle dove or a pigeon right out in their backyard. And they had to offer that. And when they come to dedicate Jesus at his dedication, they couldn't afford the bullock, and they couldn't afford the goat, and they couldn't afford the lamb. All they could do is go out because they were so poor and get the pigeon. And there was Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in that little body, that little precious body. And here's the dedication at the temple. And here's Mary, a humble little sweet mother, taking that pigeon, crying before God Almighty and saying, "Lord, I don't have much, but I dedicate the pigeon to you, representing as my substitute, representing my substitute." And right side of her was God Almighty wrapped up in blankets, a little baby. A humble mother in the slum areas with a humble pigeon as far as its value to the world. And then I thought of how God uses the common people, just the good old common folks. And then I started to thank God of all the people I've ministered to, and I've ministered to just about every class of individuals going. But of all the people I minister to, who really does the most? The common folks. I could name them by the hundreds. Who listens to the messages? The common folks. Who prays and loves to pray? The common folks. As a rule, 99.75% of the time, who goes out and witnesses? Just the common folks. The other ones are too proud. I said to a professional man recently, "What you professional men need to do is get converted all over again, be like everybody else." I said, "It's funny, when you do things, you got to get paid for it. But when anyone that loves God does it," and I said this quote, because I felt heated up that day, because I find it hard to get certain people to get right with God and to act like they ought to act like nothing. And I'll tell you what, they have to go to the bathroom like everybody else. They need doctors like everybody else. Their body smells like everybody else. And brother, don't you think for a minute that they're anything more than common with God. I'll tell you what, Jesus identified himself with the common folks for a reason. Don't put yourself in any other category. You're not so brilliant yourself. In case pride reigns. I've met some of the most brilliant people that are the most common. Some of the wealthiest people that never share a thing with you. They're the most common. You can be a common person tonight and think you're a lot bigger than you are and not be in this category. Did you know that? Jesus said, of all the people that bring offerings, I'll tell you what. You priests, you've got to have a bullock. The congregation, you've got to have a young bullock. The rulers, you're wealthy. You bring a goat. But you common folks, I'll give you a choice. Now listen carefully. I was studying ancient history about a year and a half ago, and some things came back to me tonight. And for example, Gideon's 300 tell us that they were from the poorest tribe. They were just the poorest people. 32,000 tried out for Gideon's army. All of them, many, many of the wealthier tribes, but only 300, and they all came from a poor tribe. The poorest tribe in all of Israel. And Gideon's 300 was, you could say, 300 common folks. Brought up in the lowest tribe of all of Israel. And then I was thinking tonight how that God tested these 300. And these common people could pass the test. And others went down to drink water. When they were drinking, they paid no attention to the oncoming potential army. But these 300 got down and they were more concerned about the enemy than they were for the water. And Gideon said, and God said, "Gideon, they're the ones I want. People that can stand the test." And the water speaks of the Word and the Holy Spirit. The test speaks of what God brings through the Word and the Holy Spirit upon everyone that fights the good fight of faith. And if you're more concerned tonight about what you get than you are the taking care of your enemy, then you'll never be used in God's army in revival, because you're not one of God's common folks. These common people were beautiful. They were very thirsty, but they drink just a little bit of water and then they look. The others were just drinking away. And God said, take away 10,000. Then he said, take away 21,700. And Gideon said, but I've only got 300 left. God said, that's right. But Gideon said they're all, in ancient history that goes with this, he said that they're all from the poor tribe. And God said, precisely. One day, Nehemiah said, we've got to build the wall. You know who he got according to the Word of God? The only ones that ever helped Nehemiah build the wall were common folks. He couldn't get anybody from the wealthy Israelites. He couldn't get anybody. They were all in, some of them were in captivity, but the common folks helped him build the wall. So Jesus Christ was about to come down, and he said, Father, if it's all right with you, I want to be born in a family of the poorest type of people in all of Nazareth. And the Father said, it's all right. He said, if it's all right with you, I want to be brought up in the slums of Nazareth. The Father said, it's all right. And he said, if it's all right with you, I want a little humble country girl that's not sophisticated, that's humble and poor and sweet. I want her to be my earthly mother. And the Father said, that's all right too. And he said, if it's all right with you, when I just want to be brought up in a family that only has a pigeon and don't even have money enough to buy a lamb. The Father said, that's all right too. And so though he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. One day they were going along, and the Pharisees and scribes says, we don't want him. He's from the slums. And one day it was said, he's from Nazareth, and there isn't any good thing in Nazareth. And one day they said, look at him. He's the carpenter's son. Matthew 13:55. He's too common. He couldn't perform miracles. He's an imposter. He's one of us. He's just a common man. He's one of us. But that was God in Jesus Christ. And finally, Jesus Christ went on the cross. And as he got there, approximately 4 common folks remained with him. 3 women, 1 disciple, and the 1 disciple ran away and came back. And at one time when Jesus was on the cross, 3 humble women were there. And every one of them were humble, common folks brought up around Nazareth, which was a slum area of that geographical center. 3 slum girls standing around the cross weeping because the Master was dying. And Jesus looked into their eyes and he said, oh, the common folks are with me. The common folks are with me. They've heard me gladly, because they didn't have the sham and the pretense and the false pseudo superficial culture. And by the way, culture is only when a person is right with God and lives clean. Anything else is not culture. It's sham and pretense and wicked. I went in front of Boston University 3 months ago, and if you call that place cultured, then be baptized and have your brain taken out. The colleges are not cultured. The kind of people that are cultured is the little woman that doesn't have much to do with, that keeps the house clean and lives clean and learns the best she can and keeps it up and keeps the ball rolling for the cause of her God and for the cause of her family, to bring up some good Abraham Lincolns and some John Wesleys and some D.L. Moody's, and to bring up some George Washingtons, some common folks that really have some character. one day Jesus decided he was going to choose some disciples, and he said, well, I guess I'll go to the common folks. And in Acts 4 and 13, the Bible says they were ignorant and unlearned men. I can hear some of the folks now criticizing Peter when he spoke. But the thing that they don't like is that he was the first preacher of Pentecost and they weren't. He was the first preacher and they never made it. I thank God that he didn't use Paul to be the first preacher, because he knew more than Peter. I'm glad he took someone that didn't have as many brains as Paul. He chose the common man to do it. One day the Lord Jesus was going on the Mount of Transfiguration and he said, let's see, who do I want? The three common fellows, Peter, John, and James. They're all fishermen. They're the fellows I want. One day a woman traveled to perhaps 3 to 5 miles of the dark, gloomy night across Palestine. And Jesus ended up in the home of a scribe and a Pharisee, someone that was proud in religion. And that little common woman came in. She'd been living in sin. She was tired of it. And she was one of God's common folks. And she came in and started weeping at the feet of Jesus. And every time her tears covered his face and covered his feet, she took her hair and she just wiped the tears away. And Jesus looked at her, and the scribe Simon said to her, said, you mean to tell me, to Jesus, he said, that you would pay some attention to her? She's a common woman of the street, and furthermore, she's a poor, she hasn't got it either socially or any other way. And Jesus loved her and said, she that has sinned much loveth much. Luke 7, verse 43. And he looked at that common woman. And he said, your faith has saved you. You've loved me. I love you. Go. And once again, he stood up for a common woman and rebuked a proud Pharisee right in the Pharisee's home. Be careful how you treat people. Be careful how you treat God's servants, and be careful, because one day, well, I won't go into the illustrations of how God judged people for just plain saying anything to God's servants. He is very zealous of the office of Christian. And I was thinking over and over again how Jesus Christ... I was thinking when he came to Mary Magdalene with 8 demons, and it was said in church history about her that she lived in the worst spot in town, and then she sold her body and she had 8 demons inside her, and as she sold her body, she became filled with all the sins of the flesh, and then she went out into the red light areas, and one day Jesus met her and he said, you've got 8 demons and that's your trouble, and I'll cast them out. And he did. Mary said, Master, something's happened. I don't feel evil anymore. And Jesus said, of course you don't. I died for common people like you that get in sin. And you know that little woman that had prostitution along with 7 other demons? Do you know that little woman couldn't forget it? She was the first one. She was right there at his graveside. She was right there at the cross. Then she went to the grave and she beat everybody else. And just like that woman that sat at his feet in Simon's house and shed tears and couldn't leave, and Jesus looked at her and loved her and forgave her and rebuked Simon, even so, Mary Magdalene in Luke 8, 2, of whom he cast out 7 demons, she went to the cross and she said, where have they taken my master? Then the angel came and she thought it was a gardener as Jesus appeared. And then he said those words, Mary. And she said, he's talking the way he talks to common people. He calls us by our first name. She said, he called us by our first, called me by the first name. And anybody that's a Jew, they do not do that with people like me. And she said, he forgave me and has a first name relationship with me. And she looked at him and she said, Master, Rabboni. Yes, the common people heard him gladly. There are many other illustrations in God's Word of how He poured out His heart to the whole world, but He gave the common people something extra. You know why? Because they would accept it. They didn't argue with Him like the scribes. They didn't try to trap Him like the Sadducees. They didn't think they were better like the Roman policemen. They just heard Him gladly. And I was thinking of the nights we go out witnessing and the difference in the people. Then we come to somebody that's just honest and sincere and original and sweet. And the minute you get in their home, you know they're just plain good old common folks. They listen to you. And then you get into the gospel and you get into the truth as we did a week ago. And then you get into the gospel and you get into the truth, and this couple and the man first broke in tears, just a good old common person that worked in a factory. Said, I've been wanting to do it for a long time, but it just never happened like this. And I thought as he bowed and accepted Jesus, how the angels rejoicing as one of God's common folks gets converted by the Holy Spirit. Simple, sweet, no front, no big deal, just hearing it and believe it because God said it. Another common person gets saved. But it's very difficult for the rich man because of his riches. It's very difficult for the intellectual because of his pride. And it's very difficult for the religious person because of his false concept of humility. But glory be to God, He will start revival with the common folks. Now, if there's anybody else here that you don't think you're one of them, you want to get in on it, we'll include you. The thing I liked about Nelson Blount more than anything else, and we had him booked to come back in November before he went to be with the Lord. The first sentence I ever heard Nelson say when I was in East Westmoreland, New Hampshire, and he gave his testimony was this: God save me from the top of the social manure heap. He won me the first sentence. I said, I like this guy. He's telling the truth. He didn't say, I'm Nelson Blow. I have 500 airplanes and 300 rifles. And he didn't say that. He said, folks, and he was crying. I spoke on hell that night. And he came down and said, I got to take the ending of the service over. And he, without being asked, gave the invitation. And tears were streaming down his cheeks. And he said, sir, can I take the microphone? I didn't know for sure who he was. But I saw the tears and I said quickly, you can. And he said, God saved me from the top of the social manure heap. And he said, what a bath I got in the blood of the Lamb. I guess you know how many came forward. The place was jammed. He was wealthy. But in his mental attitude, he was just a good old-fashioned common person with a common man's heart. Listen, how are we going to be revived? Throw away your sham, your pretense. Throw away every false pride and just be humble. And say, Lord, if you don't come, I'll die physically. Of course, I'll go to be with you, praise your name. But I'm just one of your common folks. And the Lord said, I love you so much, I'm going to make sure you make it. He said, I'll give you the turtle dove, the pigeon for dedication. I'll give you the female. Anything you can bring, I'll accept it. But you priests, you got to bring a bullock. Rulers, you got to bring a goat. Congregation, you got to bring a young bullock. Then he looked at the common people and he said, but you can have a choice. His heart went out to them. And the common people heard him gladly. They were his disciples. They were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were with him when the 12-year-old girl died. He said, "Will you three common fellows come in with me? You're ignorant and unlearned. You're the ones I want." Lazarus, Mary, and Martha had an education equivalent to the second grade, according to history. And he spent as much time in their home as any other house, with the possible exceptions of Peter's. And I can see him now. Here's God Almighty. Here's God in Jesus Christ just walking toward Lazarus' house. Here's that little place, and education equivalent to the second or third grade, in a humble little home with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, just humble people. They had nothing, nothing, no more than Mary, his earthly mother, had. And he walks in and they said, "Here's Jesus, our friend." And the Bible says he abode there at different times for days. He went visiting, and his friends were the unlearned, ignorant, common folks. And what a fellowship he had with them. I think that's sweet. Why do you suppose he did it with Lazarus and Mary and Martha? I think because he could fellowship with them with sincerity and honesty and love. And I think all the sham went out the window. And Mary said, "Will you teach me something, Master?" And Martha says, "Now that I'm right, I want to serve you." And Mary, "And I'm going to come in and hear some of it too." And Lazarus said, "I'm going to listen." And the Bible says he abode many days with these three people. And that's why she was so hurt. They were so hurt, Martha and Mary, when Jesus waited 4 days until Lazarus had died, when they reported to Jesus that he was sick. But he said, "I did it so common folks could see resurrection and the glory of God." In John 11, verse 40. Do you know what stops revival? When common people get proud and think they're something they're not. Do you know what brings revival? When all kinds of people become God's common folks. Hear him gladly. Fellowship with him transparently. Very humble and tactful in their communication. But very loving. In a sweet relationship with the Master. Would you bow your hearts? For your love for those of us who are your common folks. Take away pride in revival. The closer revival gets, the more I see pride coming from every direction. I sense that many times it's not understood as pride. Lord, we don't want the sin that costs Satan heaven. We don't want the sin that destroyed Ananias and Sapphira. We don't want the sin that stoned Achan and his family. We don't want the sin that cast Diotrephes from the assembly. We just want to be spirit-filled common folks.